الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. I apologize for the late start. Sorry, I had to take care of something at work and then I didn't leave at 7 and it takes like almost an hour to get back. So, but I also didn't want to miss the session and I didn't want to cancel the session. So, inshallah, you were able to use the time in a useful way. If you go to the park, you'll see often in the park there's obviously a lot of things going on in the park. There's kids playing in the park and there's people sitting and talking in the park, and you'll see sports activities in the park. And one of the things that you'll see is a lot of people, they walk their dogs in the park. So you'll see like people will be walking and they'll be on a path, and as they're on that path, you'll see that people will be walking their dogs. And, you know, they keep them on leashes, obviously. They're supposed to. And one of the things that you'll see when a person is walking their dog in the park is that they walk in a straight line or in a relatively straight line or on some sort of path, and the dog is jumping this way, and then they pull on the leash, and then the dog jumps this way, and then they pull on the leash. Then sometimes a dog is walking behind and trying to drag the owner behind, and the owner will again pull on the leash. And sometimes a dog is trying to go in front, and then the owner will pull the dog back on the leash. And this isn't like the case with any, you know, one particular person. Everybody's doing the same thing. And I'm sure, you know, anybody in this room, if you've ever observed the way, I was just sitting and observing, I mean, if you've ever observed the way the people, owners walk their dogs, it's always the same. Either the dog is running here and barking, or the dog is running there and barking, but the person wants to go in one direction and is always dragging the dog in that direction. And I was sitting and watching this, and subhanAllah, I was thinking that this is very similar to a person who's trying to traverse the path of deen. What happens is we have a set aim. You know, we know, like the owner, when they go through the park, they kind of have a set way. They want to go on the path, and they probably want to cross the park in this way, and they have an idea of the direction in which they want to go, and this dog keeps pulling them in different directions. So we as human beings, we also have a direction that we want to go in. And, you know, as people of deen, we want to keep ourselves on the path of deen. And we have this intention that, okay, here I am in my life, I want to focus on this, and I want to go here, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And whether that be in our daily activity, in our monthly activity, in our weekly activity, we have a plan and we have a path that we want to traverse in order to get to the end point. But the example of the dog with the person is similar to the example of our nafs with us. One of the things that we, as human beings, Allah created within us, almost like a little dog. It's not a dog per se, but it's like a dog, you know, similar to a dog, but it's a nafs. Nafs is the base animalistic desire that exists within us. So we know that we want to walk in a straight path. We know that we want to walk in a particular direction. But what happens is, like a dog, you know, starts running in this direction, we start running after our nafs, you can say, will run after those things which don't necessarily pertain to the direction in which we want to go. So for example, when the owner is walking the dog, you know, the dog sees a squirrel, then the dog wants to run after the squirrel because the dog thinks that that's something to chase, and the owner has to drag the dog back. When the owner is walking the dog sees a cat or sees a pigeon, the dog starts running after the pigeon, and the owner pulls it back. When the owner is walking the dog sees another dog, right? The owner doesn't want it interacting with that other dog, so then it pulls it back on the leash. So we're the same way. You know, we're on this path, and all of a sudden, like, these distractions, they pop up, and we know that we shouldn't be pursuing them. We know that we shouldn't even be giving them attention. In fact, we know that we shouldn't even acknowledge them. But our nafs invariably will turn towards those things and start to try to pull us in that direction. And we have to recognize two important things that protect us from being pulled by the nafs off the path, right? So there's a few things. Like, number one, they won't let you, the number one thing, you have to be very careful where you walk the dog. The owners, you know, they're very careful about where they walk the dogs. So, you know, they go to the park. They don't go to some very busy place where the dog has 500 things to chase, you know, because they'll be constantly fighting the dog. So they'll go to the park or some sort of open place where there's limited distractions. So in the same way, we as human beings, you know, if we put ourselves in a circumstance where our nafs has a million things to be distracted, then we won't be able to, like, you know, you can pull once, you can pull twice, you can pull three times, but it's eventually we get pulled off the path rather than us pulling the nafs back onto the path. So that's like one important principle. Another important principle is that, you know, they don't let a kid have a big dog. Because what will happen if the kid has the big dog? The dog will be dragging the kid will not be dragging the dog. So similarly, when we have our nafs, you'll see that the deen places a very big premium on reducing the nafs, on making the nafs small, on not letting the nafs grow. Because if the nafs becomes like a big dog, then we're obviously going to get dragged every time it goes in a different direction. We have to make sure that the nafs stays like a small little puppy. You know, and we're the big, you know, the spiritual angle of us is big. So that when there's a distraction, we just pull on it and we can head in the right direction. So you'll see that, like, the deen, you know, many of these principles, you know, they in this example, but the deen will tell you, be careful about the environment in which you enter. Not because a righteous person gets distracted by an environment. Righteous people don't get distracted by an environment. The nafs of the righteous person gets distracted by the environment. Righteous people don't plan to go into a bad environment. They don't sit and plot and plan that I want to go here and I'll see this and I'll see that. No, they're just casually thinking about what they need to do, how they need to get from A to B, how they need to achieve, you know, the next goal. But what happens is the moment that any human being gets into a circumstance where there's challenges, then the nafs takes advantage of that and begins to head in those different directions. Now, everybody has a nafs. There's no person in this room. There's no person in our history, you know, as far as the community is concerned, you know, with the exception of prophets. Everybody has a nafs. Everybody has a human-based animalistic desire that has the potential to pull them off the path on which they're trying to traverse. So we have to, first point we have to recognize is we all have enoughs. The moment somebody assumes that I don't have enoughs is the moment they get dragged off the path because they're not expecting to be pulled to the left or to the right. That's the first mistake that a human being can make. Either they're immature and they are not cognizant of the fact that enoughs is present within them. And this is like the thing that happens with teenagers. Because teenagers think, oh, I'm this, I'm that, you know, nothing's going to distract me. And I'm not the kind of person that gets caught in the crowd. And I'm not the person that would do that. But the moment they go and they jump into that environment, and the moment they jump into that environment, their nafs takes control. The failure there wasn't their nafs. The failure there was the lack of assumption of a nafs, initially. Eventually the nafs grows and it's a different story. But that's the mistake that youth make. And anyway, adults make that as well. Initially youth make that mistake because of their immaturity. And similarly, adults make that mistake because of their lack of sense of an inevitability of the nafs. A lot of pious people think, oh, I don't have a nafs, everybody else does. So I can do these things when everybody else can't. We're all human beings. If we're put in the wrong environment, we all fail. Doesn't matter who it is. So the first point is to recognize that we have a nafs and that no person ever defeats their nafs. It's not humanly possible for a person to defeat their nafs. Okay, that's number one. Number two is to recognize that the nafs wants to go in every direction but the path that you want to take. The nafs wants to go in every direction but the path that a person wants to take. So what happens? A person knows that they want to walk on the straight path, The nafs is the one that looks to the right and says, oh, that looks interesting, let me look at that. Oh, that might taste interesting, let me try that. Oh, that sounds interesting, let me listen to that. Oh, that might be interesting, let me go towards that. That's the nafs that's driving the person. I mean, we have a very straightforward thing. I have to go to work, I have to come home from work, I have to go to prayer, I have to come home from prayer. There's nothing else there. What else do I have to do? You know, maybe I have to, you know, traverse into the market on occasion. But, you know, the people of deen, they have a very limited schedule. My schedule is I have to work, I have to pray, I have to, you know, sustain myself. It's a very limited schedule. It's the nafs that gets put into those circumstances that says, well, you know, what if I had this? Could I also make this work in the direction that I want to go? Can I also add this? Can I also add that? Can I also do this? Can I also do that? Not recognizing that the nafs eventually drags a person off the path at which they're traversing. So that's the second mistake. First mistake is to assume that I don't have a nafs. Second mistake is to think that I'm able to conquer my nafs. Neither is possible. Everybody has a nafs, and nobody's able to conquer the nafs completely. All right? So number three is to recognize that the nafs has a different size. The nafs can be like a puppy, or it can be like those big, you know, sometimes you see people have these dogs that are bigger than them. You wonder, like, you know, what is this? Is this a dog or is this some other kind of beast? That's the third mistake, is to let that puppy, which everybody has, turn into a big dog that's out of control. So that's why that you'll see that, you know, the deen is very, very cognizant of limiting the ability of the nafs. So the deen, the nafs wants to eat, and grow into a big dog. Right? The nafs wants to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, so that it gains the strength and ability to be in control. But the person of deen recognizes that even if something is not haram, listen very carefully, even if something is not haram, it's not good for my nafs. They don't look at deen as like halal and haram. Halal and haram is like Jannah and Jahannam. You know, that's like the border. That's like the border of, like, you know, going and crossing into something that you should absolutely not cross into. The pious people are way away from that border. You know, Jannah and Jahannam is like F and a D. Right? I mean, a D passes you. An F fails you. The person who sits at the edge of an F and a D, sometimes they get an F, sometimes they get a D. The person who says, no, I want to get an A, they're not going to get an F. They probably won't even get a D. So that's the distinction. The people of piety, they're not living on the edge of halal and haram. They're asking the question, is this bad, or is this something that's good or bad for my nafs? And they want to avoid the things that would even potentially grow the nafs. So, yes, I'm hungry and I need to eat, but I should eat the limited amount that's necessary, because otherwise I'm not feeding my body, I'm feeding my nafs. Put it this way, the body has needs. Anything beyond the needs of the body automatically feeds the nafs. Listen carefully. The body has needs, but anything beyond the needs of the body inevitably ends up feeding the nafs. So yes, I have certain food that I need. If I eat beyond that, I'm feeding the nafs. I have a certain possession that I should have. If I possess beyond that, I'm feeding the nafs. I have certain interactions that I need to have. If I go beyond that, I'm feeding the nafs. I mean, there's like a certain amount of interaction that you need to have with a human being in order to remain human. Right? But sitting up all night, you know, laughing the night away with my friends, I'm feeding the nafs. I'm not serving deen or serving myself in that way. So that's a general principle. And where do you find the foundations of these principles? In the sunnah. The sunnah is the thing that says, what do I need and what's beyond it? What's excess? The sunnah tells you how much food is necessary, how much food is beyond necessity. The sunnah tells you, when should I speak and what's beyond necessity. The sunnah tells you, what type of interaction should I have and what's beyond necessity. The sunnah tells you, how much should I pursue the deen and what's beyond necessity. All of that is established by the sunnah. Nobody needs to do a research project to try to figure that out. It's already contained within the sunnah. So that's principle number three, that a person should limit their interaction with the world around them such that they fulfill the needs established by deen, but they don't allow that to spill over into their desires, because every desire that's fulfilled in the end fulfills the nafs. And now you see, I mean, this is the world we live in. It's a world of desire. Anybody can get anything they want at any time. And people complain. Like, you know, there isn't enough variety. My food doesn't come as quickly as it should. I didn't get customer service the way I deserve it. That's the complaint of the day. I mean, you just laugh. You look at the world and you look at the world the way it was 200 years ago and the way it is today. You look at the way the kings lived 200 years ago and you look at the way the common person lives today and you wonder how a person could even imagine a complaint. But that's the nafs. The nafs is complaining. How could a person complain about their food when they eat four meals a day? How is it? A person complains about their food when they eat four meals a day. How is that a person complains about their living quarters, you know, when they have, you know, three times the house of the size of the Prophet ﷺ? I mean, go and see the house of the Prophet ﷺ. I mean, minimum people nowadays have three times the size of the house of the Prophet ﷺ. I don't even think that anybody would make a house that size anymore, you know, especially in the West. So, I mean, we have to be realistic with ourselves. We are on a path. We know that path. It's very clear. So it's a blessing of Allah that we're on the path. It's a blessing of Allah that we know it's straight. It's a blessing of Allah that we know where it ends. But what drags us is that we allow the nafs to become so big that it's three times as big as us. So when the dog decides that it looks to the right or looks to the left and wants to chase something it shouldn't chase, we're holding the leash and, you know, being dragged through the dirt with the dog. That's the challenge. The challenge today, it's not that I need to educate people on what's deen. Everybody knows what's deen. And the basic goodness in deen, it's just straightforward. I mean, anybody, any human being knows, you know, live simply, eat simply, share with others. I mean, these are basic principles every kindergartner knows. It's not some big educational seminar you need to make about what is the basics of deen and what are the essential goals. That's not the challenge. Everybody knows that. The challenge is nobody can live according to that. Because nafs is constantly distracting us. Our pursuits of, you know, our eyes and our ears are so honed in on dunya that we're constantly thinking about it. We've completely lost control of ourselves and we're being dragged in every direction. Then in the end, people end up trying to justify it. That's a separate discussion. But deen is clear. Halal is clear. Haram is clear. Akhirah is clear. The extent of dunya is clear. I mean, you don't need some long lectures on these things. The challenge of suluk, you know, the challenge of a person developing themselves in the path of spiritual development is really twofold. Number one, grow oneself spiritually so that the person is big, the spirit of the person is big. And number two, crush the nafs so that the dog becomes small. Now you have a big person with a small dog. Of course, the moment the dog goes in the wrong direction, you just pull the dog. In the end, what happens? The dog walks straight with the owner. You'll see there are some people, they train their dog so well, the dog walks straight with the owner. And sometimes, sometimes a person is blind. The person themselves is blind. The dog is walking straight and guiding the person. So that's the eventual goal of a salik. That they take their spiritual self and they build it up into something strong. And that they control and curb their nafs so that the nafs knows that the path that they're walking on is actually the best path. And the nafs doesn't get distracted by anything that's there because the nafs knows that it's not going to be able to have it. Or even better yet, that the nafs knows that that's going to be attained in the next life, not in this. So that's the challenge. There's the spiritual development of a human being basically boils down to two main buckets. Bucket number one, develop myself. Bucket number two, crush my nafs. And you'll see, I mean, this is a science of suluk. It's a science of tasawwuf. They emphasize, the mashayikh of old, they essentially emphasize these two principles which were established at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Grow oneself spiritually by doing ibadah, by engaging in good, by fasting, by recitation of Quran, by depth in prayer. That allows a person to grow. And curb the nafs by eating, by minimizing the eating, minimizing interactions except when necessary, keeping the gaze down, not focusing on dunya, turning away from what am I wearing, and what is everybody else wearing, and what shoes am I wearing, and what this did I wear, and what that did I wear, and instead focusing on the things that are needs instead of wants. Now we live in the opposite. You know, the nafs is so out of control, that not only does everybody desire everything, but everybody sends pictures of themselves in those things. I'm eating this. I'm wearing this. I got my hair like this. I put my shoes like this. Look at the way my clothes match with this. That's all people are doing. And then they're advertising it and sending it to the world. It's like, you know, nafs on steroids. Person should have been on steroids. And then the spirit of the person should have been on steroids. And nafs is on steroids. And everybody is so spiritually weak that nobody can even control it. Nobody can control themselves. You know, they want to control their kids. They like to scream at their kids, yell at their kids, tell their kids what to do, tell their family members what to do. But they themselves are being dragged through the mud like everybody else. That's the circumstance that we find ourselves in. And we are no exception. When just because we have deen or we come to the masjid, that doesn't exempt us from the garbage of the world. It doesn't exempt us. We're just as, because again, that same principle comes into play. We all have nafs. We didn't eliminate the nafs by coming to the masjid, or somehow the nafs disappeared because we woke up. We all have nafs. If we feed the nafs with all this foolishness that goes on in the digital world, then we all become, you know, we all become prone to the same dangers. If we constantly feed ourselves and constantly, you know, get everything that we want and constantly, you know, do everything that we want, and we constantly say whatever we want, and we think that there's no restrictions on it, the nafs just becomes an animal and it's out of control. Right? We know from hadith, the intelligent one, not the one who knows a bunch of things. The intelligent one is the one who crushes his nafs and works towards akhirah, or crushes her nafs and works towards akhirah. That's the intelligent one. SubhanAllah, that's intelligence today as well. Intelligent one is not the one who knows a bunch of facts but then lives like an animal. That's not a human being. The intelligent one, doesn't matter how much the facts they know, the intelligent one is the one who curtails their animalistic desires and doesn't just think that they can take whatever they want and say whatever they want and do whatever they want and eat whatever they want and talk however they want. They have character. They have morals. They have... they have adab. And then they curtail that and they use that nafs to keep them on the straight path so that even when it's dark and even when they're blinded, they can continue to move forward. Just like when a person has a truly trained dog, you know, especially when it's a helper dog, even when they can't see, the dog guides them on the straight. There is a possibility, and we know from Quran there's a possibility to have a nafs that actually is curtailed and actually becomes an assistant to the person seeking deen. But that's a very, very high state. So, you know, we should not make this assumption. Maybe the simple summary is, we should not make this assumption that we don't have a nafs. Or that somehow because we have a beard or a cap or a thobe or come to the masjid or wear hijab, or wear an abaya, that somehow I don't have a nafs. No, we're all the same. We're all human beings. We all have desires. And we are all susceptible to the same diseases. And we should be open about it. We should be clear about it. And we should be focused about it. Our goal is twofold. Number one, to grow ourselves spiritually. Every moment that we spend in the dhikr of Allah or in the service of His creation allows us to grow ourselves. And that strengthens who we are at our core. And it's to curtail the nafs. We don't want to eat all that we want in this life. We want to do that in the next. We don't want that every time I wish for something, I have it on my plate. We'll have that in the next. We don't want that every single, you know, desire of mine is constantly fulfilled. That's what happens in the next. That's not the goal. The goal is to partake of the dunya to the extent that we're going to be in dunya, and to aim for a reward in the akhirah to the extent that we're going to be in the akhirah. Khair. Anyway, the simple summary is that everybody in this room, there is no exception, we all have nafs. And we're all, our nafs is like any other nafs. It's just as susceptible to the circumstances in which we find ourselves. So we should limit the ability of the nafs to grow and thrive and take control of our lives. And, you know, the challenges are simple. The food that we eat, the people that we spend time with, the words that we say, the screens that we look at. Now I would even say the screens that we look at, it's like high and up on that list. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be able to crush our nafs, and may grant us the tawfiq to be able to become spiritually strong. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.